Profile on Praise Junction.
Listen.
This is my story.
Real people, real stories. Real God, real change.
This is my story.
This is Profile on the Praise Junction Show.
Welcome back to Praise Junction, and you're focusing on Profile today. And my name is Grace Mutisum, hosting Mr. and Mrs. Waki, our guest today on Profile. And remember this, I will be getting to your questions and comments on the SMS line 20933. Keep them coming and we'll get to them. Allow me to get back to my guests, and we continue with their story right here at Hope FM Listen and Leave. And of course, we'll be getting to your questions in a short while. So we stopped at that point where you said you didn't put an expectation in regards to when you're trusting God for a child. And right now, you both of you are at that place of waiting. How has the journey been? Let's start with you, Sheila.
Oh, it's been very hard. I won't lie and over spiritualize life, but it's been very, very hard, especially physically, on my body, because over time when we realized we couldn't conceive, we went into tests and seeing doctors, and they found quite a lot of issues happening within my body.
Yeah.
So it's been hard. It's been hard.
Mm.
Yeah.
At what year, if I may ask, was it now you said, hey, Appa, I think this thing now is getting into me?
2015.
What happened in 2015?
2015 was a very heavy year, because in April, we lost his mom. And then in November, we lost my best friend, the pastor that I had met.
Yes.
So my body just giving.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? What's happening? Why am I losing the closest people to me? And they're both dying of cancer. Mm. So it was a very hard season. And by then I was already plugged into the church.
Yes.
So then I remember I also lost a nephew of mine. During the same, in fact, we buried him a few days after we buried my best friend. And because I am in church, my cousin says, you're going to run with this story. So, yeah, you just, thanks, take care of our child. Thanks. So there was all this happening, and it was so emotionally attached to my heart.
Yeah.
And I think my body just gave way after that. I remember he rushed me to hospital just to check, not at because you're feeling sick or anything, but let's just check and see how you are at. And the doctor that day found my blood pressure was very high and asked him what's going on.
Kwani, what was happening for you to say your body was giving in? Like, what practical thing were you going through?
When you're going through loss, and remember my husband said I usually take charge of things.
Yes.
Yes. So you're going through loss, but you're also taking charge of things, and you're not getting it out of your system.
Ah,
okay?
Because
there's no time to get it out of your system. Things need to be done.
Things need to move.
Yes. We need to finish these processes. We need to bury. We need to. I'll mourn later.
And your events organizing.
Thank you. So I'm already on.
Yeah, certified. I should remember that.
I'm already on things need to do. We need to do. We can't afford to sit down and, I mean, let the immediate family
mourn.
Sit down and mourn.
But for you.
Us guys need to figure out things need to be done.
Uh-huh.
So then, let me tell you, Akiv, you're married. Please just get to know each other.
Yes.
Pray that you will be aligned and become one, because he felt the need to just, let's just pass by the hospital and ask one of my friends to check you.
Yeah.
Not because you have a flu or you're looking sick. No, there's just been so much happening around you. Let's just pass by and find out how you're doing.
Yes.
So it was in that process that the doctor found my blood pressure was really high and recommended counseling. when after they spoke out of the room
without you hearing,
they agreed that I need counseling.
Yes.
So that's when I started.
Yes,
those ones you're allowed. No, those ones you're allowed, babe. Yes. Those ones you're allowed to make.
Yes.
Yeah, make all of them for me. Thank you.
Actually, what I saw on my part was that she was, she didn't seem like she was, her mind was clear.
Yeah, because you know her.
Yes, her mind did not seem clear. She seemed like she was, she'd seem either a bit indecisive, then she'll get back to it again.
Yes.
Or she'll be a bit overly aggressive or less aggressive, depending on what was required at the, at the point. I knew what she'd been going through. They've been very good friends with this lady that she's talking about. I don't even know she's calling her best friend. They were like sisters.
Yes.
In fact, they were sisters. Let's put it that way. And it really weighed down on her.
Mm.
And now our cousin happened to be also someone who also depends on Sheila when such things happen. So you see now again, she has this loss that she's dealing with. Then there's somebody who's leaning on her to be her stronghold.
Yes.
And she's also trying to keep it together. So all that came crashing down on her. And I noticed that she was not...
this is not
aligned.
My wife.
She was not really aligned as I know her.
Mm.
So I then suggested that we just get her checked. And yes, they did find her blood pressure was high. And yes, she was recommended for counseling over and above, of course, the general check to make sure that her pressure is also well controlled. And that's when now we got connected to a counselor as well for that particular reason, because she was actually going through so much at the time.
Okay.
And of course, now that's when I think in English they say things started now coming out from the woodwork. So one test now led to another, led to another, because, okay, now why is it that you have this? Let us test this.
Yes.
And with those tests that are being done now, that's when now slowly by slowly, we now started building up another thing altogether. Okay, now we are realizing that there's definitely something happening to your body that's not the usual.
Okay.
Yes.
In fact, it was it was at one of the counseling sessions when our counselor, Mrs. Kibuthu, God bless your heart, who asked why don't you have children? And we're like, huh?
It's triggered something.
Huh. Good question.
Because, like you said, you've not put a timeline or anything, so we're not thinking like, you know, it's been a while, but.
Mm-mm.
We've been busy doing other things.
You know?
But so, now that you're saying, those things are done.
Night clicks.
why don't we have children?
And those are several years later. Yeah,
not really several, maybe a few months. Because it's not like when we're busy doing other things that you are not engaging.
No. We know.
Kimapenzi. Our love was moro, fire.
The word engaging.
So it made sense. Like, I mean, even if we're busy doing other things, there should have been something.
Yes.
Evidence of what we have been doing.
Okay.
So when that... it really hit, and she offered, she suggested we go see a certain doctor, Dr. Yamal Patel. And that's when we began on that journey to see the doctor. Now, to just cut everything short, because we have so much to cover, in the process of just many tests being run through my body, they realized I have diabetes, I have high blood pressure, which we found that day. And the question was, why do you have diabetes?
Yeah.
You don't have diabetes in your family. You don't have, I mean, you don't look like, we've seen, you've told us how you eat and what you do. Your life seems very active. So why is this happening? And that's when now they decided to go the gynecological route.
Yes.
And they found I had PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. And that is now the main cause as to why we could not conceive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe in summary, what is polycystic ovarian? So, or ask Daktari.
It's okay, I can handle this one.
Let me sit back. Now, people, watch the mind that I fell in love with. Watch the mind I fell in love with.
Okay.
So
basically, polycystic ovarian syndrome is a condition where there are cysts, and cysts are fluid-filled sacs that grow in your ovaries, and that is not supposed to happen. Your ovaries should not have anything else beside the eggs.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So they grow in the ovary, and what that does is the egg that is in the ovary can then not grow to the size it's recommended for it to be released and fertilized. Because these things are taking space. Mm. So there's no space to grow. Okay? Then what this these cysts do, they cause hormonal imbalances. They mess up your hormones real good. And you get different signs and symptoms. Mm. So you'll see, like, for example, chin hairs, excess weight, like you just can't shed it off easily. Even if you exercise, shedding that weight is just dramatic. Mm. You tire a lot, fatigue, just very interesting mood swings. What ones are those ones? They got me real good.
Mm.
So that's what polycystic ovarian syndrome does. However, that's not the only condition the doctor found. He found I had fibroids. He found my left tube, my left fallopian tube was blocked. And he found there's something called fimbria. There are some things called fimbria. Let me tell you, God is so amazing. He created you. There are things called fimbria, the end of the fallopian tubes that help collect the eggs once it matures into the fallopian tube, and if it meets a sperm, then it fertilizes and goes into the uterus and attaches to the walls of the uterus, right? So my fimbria was stuck to my intestines. So they were not collecting anything. They're supposed to be moving freely like your fingers would.
It was the left and the right one was actually attached to each other. So so there's the organ which is called now the uterus. So that, let's imagine, that is a head. Then you have the fallopian tubes. Imagine those are the horns, or the cow head, and then the horns. All right. At the end of each horn, we have finger-like structures. All right. Then after that, beyond that, we have now the ovaries. So that's just to give you a picture of what she's trying to say. So that tube, the egg comes from the ovary straight through into the tube, and a tube is hollow generally. For the fertilization to happen, or for menstruation, because if you don't get fertilized, out it comes. All right, generally speaking. Now, to be also very clear, the word polycystic means many cysts.
Yeah.
All right, so there are some that have a solitary one. Some of them have one or two that are not really significant in terms of causing any kind of infertility or issues. Why it becomes a syndrome is because these cysts tend to become. So you have IDPs. And these guys have taken over your land. Now they're starting to settle down. They're building there. They're doing what they want. So these cysts sometimes tend to actually take over, and they start producing hormones irregularly.
Okay.
All right. So then you now get the abnormalities that she was talking about. So that is why it is called a syndrome.
Okay.
I'm just putting it in English.
You've helped us understand.
What happens? You start producing more male hormones than you should.
As a female.
Yes. Yes.
So it began like your husband saying, my wife, let's just go for a checkup. Then you start the journey and the doctor tells you, both of you, this. What was going through your mind?
I remember, because the doctor who told me I'm diabetic was different, because she had to now send me to other doctors for research. And I remember I laughed, and she called him and she's like, is your wife okay? Because she's just laughing. I don't understand.
Why are you laughing?
Usually, for me, what was going through my head was, oh God, okay, interesting. Oh, okay, I've read about this. I know there are people who have this. Also, now I have this. Yeah. Oh, wow, this is hilarious. So it was, maybe shock, I could say, at that point. And for me, shock would, I'd end up laughing.
Yeah. That's how you cope.
That's
with
how
shock.
I cope. Even with pain, I laugh.
Okay.
Yeah. If I fell down here and I hurt my leg, I'd laugh first, then go like, okay, I think I'm really hurt.
There's something wrong here now.
But I think for me, it was just, okay, thanks. Now I know. Let's now move on. Because I remember I sat down and I told the doctor, okay, what do we do?
What's next?
What do we, here and now,
it became,
what do we do?
It became an answer, you know. It was, I've learned in my profession that human beings love closure. You know, as in, the reason why I cannot walk straight is because of this. The reason why I cannot see properly is because of this. You know, it's hard to be told we can't find anything, but you do have a problem.
Yes.
But we cannot find anything. That's it. That closure is not there. So at least that was the beginning of the closure. Now we know now where we are in terms of what is going on.
Yes.
So the question is, what next? In fact, that's exactly what we did. We didn't even sit down and say, can we discuss it at home?
Mm. Let's go.
Yeah, let's just wait. Let us sit home and discuss and see now what we can do.
Mm. What next?
The question is, was the next question was, okay, so what next?
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, now that's where now the series of treatment plans that were suggested for us.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you, Mr. Taylor. So, going to the doctor, this the report your wife is given that finally we are able to put our finger to, it's this, as the husband, not now as the doctor. What discussions did you have with God?
Okay, I was actually sad. Let me be honest. I was sad because... Okay, first I was happy because there was something that at least... Because I know her with closure. She loves closure.
Yes.
So that at least gave me some sense of comfort.
Yes.
But I was also sad for her because I had already widened my scope to what we anticipate to actually go through.
Mm.
In terms of how we're going to see, how we're going to try to get children as we go along. I knew it will actually be on her. So I knew what I was expecting and anticipating. So I really felt sad for her. So in that sadness, I asked God to give me the strength to be able to be there for her, regardless of how annoyed she gets,
yes,
how irritable she gets, how depressed she gets.
Yeah.
Because I knew all this was very important for it. It's part of the growth and it's part of that treatment as well.
Yes.
It's not only from the doctor, but it has to come from her support team. And at that time, at that particular moment, I was her only support team at that particular moment.
Yes.
Of course, now growing is different, but at that particular moment, I was the one. I am the one.
Mm.
So I had to be able to create a sense of comfort and a sense of presence for her. And that's what I asked God for, that strength, just for that. Because once you have the presence, everything else fits in.
True.
As in, without that, you buy whatever you want, but you're not really for it. And you're like, okay, fine. You want a hot dog? Fine. There she goes again. She's exploded. Okay, fine. Let her finish first, then I can walk away. Just let her, you know, just support her.
Yes.
And that support is very important.
Mm.
Presence. Just being there present.
Mm.
That was what I really wanted for her. As in, that's how I actually progressed in how I responded to the news.
Okay. Before we go on a break, I'd love to ask, maybe both of you can respond. Either of you can respond. So you start treatment. Mm. And there is hope because you've pointed... Apando kuna mambo, and we need this treatment. So you do the treatment, you finish.
Actually, it was in fact, to go slightly back.
Yes.
To be clear, ladies and gentlemen out there, the tests were not only done on her; they had to be done on me as well. Because it has to be clear that the only immaculate conception we know is one.
Mm. Yes, true.
That's the only one we know.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
And in history as well.
Yes.
It has not been recorded anywhere.
Yes.
Okay? As far as I know.
Mm.
And so it is from both parties. So it had to be clear that even if she has issues, I may also have issues. So we both had to be checked. In terms of the treatment plan, we, of course, yes, we were hopeful.
Mm.
We were definitely hopeful.
Yes.
And we put our faith in it. We prayed for it. We put our energies in. I put my presence into it.
Yes,
for
yes,
her.
You promised.
It's a very expensive process.
It is, yes.
It's so draining.
Yeah.
It is so painful. Mm. Painful. I remember there was a time when, because you have, there are moments where they have to stimulate the eggs that you have so that we increase chances of conception.
Yes.
And I remember there was a time I had 24 eggs ready. And normally you're just supposed to have one egg.
Yeah.
But I had 24. 12 here, 12 here. And you're being told, they're all... So imagine they're squeezing into the
the cysts that are already there, it is so painful. You can't walk, you can't move, you literally feel your ovaries. Mm-hmm. If someone touches, you scream.
Because of the pain.
Yes. And I remember even they grow in size.
Because they have to accommodate all that happening. You see, like she says, one or two. So you see one or two, you don't have such a significant growth.
Yeah.
But now you're talking about 20-something, even five, how many?
It's a lot.
You
get a significant increase in size in the ovaries, and it's quite painful. In fact,
I remember there was a time I had
overstimulation. Say that one.
They overstimulated and I formed a cyst in the uterus. The day that... my options were either go for surgery to remove it, and I've already done like another surgery. I'm healing from it. So I either go for surgery for it to be removed, or so that it's drained out, or we allow it to shed on its own. And the doctor opted, and I thank God for this doctor. He opted to just allow us to for it to shed on its own. The day it shed, I called him. I was fetal position on the carpet. I couldn't move. I was crying. Yani, you're crying from inside because of the pain. Me, who's very pain tolerant, I was crying from my belly. I called him and I didn't even talk to him. I just let the phone continue going on. So he's wondering, why am I quiet? It's not normal. But he can hear sobs. He can hear sobs, but he's wondering what's going on. So he calls back and I'm still not responding. I'm picking up, yes, but I'm not talking.
You're not able to talk because of the pain.
So I say thank God for oneness. Because immediately he just entered the car, excused himself from work, entered the car, drove home and found me in fetal position. And he's like, what's going on? I've told him I'm bleeding like crazy. I can't move. I'm in pain. I've changed like 3 pads in 1 hour. I don't know what to do. I'm in pain. So he calls the doctor and the doctor just tells him, you know what? I can't do anything. There's nothing much I can do because this was our expectation. So basically, I went through labor at that point because the doctor said it is just like labor because the uterus is contracting and removing something. So he's saying you went through labor, only that it wasn't for a baby, it was a cyst. And he was told once the bleeding stops, then he can take me to the doctor, because he was like, I'll only give the same painkillers you're giving her right now. There's nothing much I can do.
In fact, what he had said is that you'll bring her if she still hasn't gotten better. But by morning she was a bit better. Exactly. So that the point was to go only if there wasn't much relief.
Okay.
So yes. I just told him, because you know what labor is, just help her. And sort that out. In case it gets worse, I'm on speed dial.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing you say is the power of being one, as a married couple, and just hearing God and walking together through the different seasons of life. Miss Sample, what you're saying, I'm still hosting Mr. and Mrs. Waki, and you're talking about the story of waiting on God and just seeing God come through for you. I'm checking my SMS line here. Somebody just writing and saying, I was also diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome. Thank you for writing in. And I'm hoping you're getting some medical help, my dear listener, that you have written in. Somebody else just saying, this story sounds familiar. Sounds very familiar to my own story. I'm not yet married, but I'm heading there. God bless our guests for being real with their story. Somebody else saying, Rose writes and says, I'm really waiting to hear the testimony. I hope you're still tuned in, and I'm still trusting God for the fruits of the womb. Thank you, Rose. We'll be praying together with you in a short while before we conclude the program. This one says, I've waited for more than 10 years now, and my husband seems to have given up and moved on. I need God to strengthen me. It's very difficult. Sheila, let's begin with you. What will be your word of encouragement to this listener?
Especially to the one who has waited for 10 years. Just keep going. Keep going. Seek. Look for your tribe. And by your tribe, I don't mean like vernacular.
Mm.
I mean, sick people who understand you, sick people who are going through what you're going through. I'm part of a group called Waiting Wombs, and yes, we are on Facebook. So look for us, search us, and just like and answer the questions that we will ask you. You can join us and just join this big family of more than 8,000 women who are going through what you're going through. God didn't create us to go through this alone. So we are here for you. Just reach out. Keep up the faith. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't get tired. You probably need counseling, and Waiting Wombs does that as well. Keep busy. Do things that make you happy. Personally, I'm in two choirs, 100 yes. Voices with Sir M and Voices of Chapel Voices of Worship. And that keeps me alive and happy because I'm doing what I love to do. So surround yourself with things that make you happy and make you grow. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let me go to Tele. And you know, this wife writes and says, the husband is like, he's given up his... I mean, move on. You're still here. If this husband is listening, what did you tell him?
It's yeah. There's there may be many ways to look at it, but I try not to focus on everything. This is my one focus is her. Her is going to represent all the wives out there.
Yes,
it is her. And her needs, because it gets to a point where us as men, I don't know if it's more African or worldwide, but our masculinity tends to be insulted when such a thing doesn't happen. I'm not able to conceive, or rather, my wife is not able to conceive children, so it's her problem, it's her fault. So we tend to, the default setting is go to another thing that works. This land is barren. We've tried to plant. I mean, let's get another one. You know, this house is leaking. We've tried to fix nothing. Let's just build another house. So why not just get another lady or another wife, depending on what the situation is. For you men out there, tone down the masculinity. Tone it down. Tone it down. It's very important because you are with this woman first, before the children. You didn't marry the children for her. You married her for the child, or rather you married her anyway, all right? Everything else comes in as a blessing from God. And what brought you to her, what attracted you to her, is what is actually the main thing between the two of you. And that's what should be your driving force. I mean, you know her faults, you know her strengths, and you guys complement each other to that extent. So tone down on the masculinity and be there for your wife. Support her. As in, she's going through so much. She's going through so much, by the way. And it doesn't insult your masculinity. Actually, it's she's also defending you, by the way, if you think about it.
And she didn't ask for it.
She didn't ask for it. Yeah, true.
She didn't
true.
Say, I want to be the one who cannot conceive. I mean, she didn't ask for
yes,
it.
Yes, so it actually becomes... it's sad that we tend to feel that we have to... It's a masculine thing. I think if we turn down the masculinity, we should be able to...
You're basically in this together.
Yeah. No finger pointing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that happens a lot. And that's, in fact, that's where actually everything now goes downhill. So now... what happens with you women is that you guys are mothers from even when you guys are like 6 years old. I mean, when you're playing with those dolls and those sticks, you're mothers. So you have that motherly thing about you, and you realize that, Natchez, thank you very much.
Yes.
Did I not tell you about her mind before?
Her mind.
So when you find that this is not working as it is, your nurturing nature comes and kicks in, you know, because you're looking for that way that you can be able to woo him back to you, or woo him to the sense where you can be able to work together.
Yes.
He's still mean. The unfortunate thing sometimes, he's very violent, for example. He's very abusive. But you see her there, and your hope, you know, it's okay, don't worry, calm down, you know, and which is very noble. I think we take advantage of that. Which shouldn't happen. So the number two thing as well will be, on top of turning down the masculinity, don't take advantage of her situation.
Yeah.
And want to step on her, so to speak.
Mm.
All right? Whether it's physically or figuratively.
Okay.
All right.
But if you're in a negative environment, please leave. If you're being abused, if you're being beaten, you're being threatened, you're just leave
and just run for help.
Just leave and look for help because the next thing we know is we'll be coming to bury you,
and we don't want that.
And we don't want that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Somebody asking is Mr. Waki, is he the guy who was at Senior Chief?
Yes.
Is it you?
Oh, that's a long time ago.
Your music music and training choir teacher or somebody says hi. Teacher Steve, senior mix, says hi.
Okay. Salams. I'm sorry, I'm in a radio and I'm waving. I thought you look at me. Let me just say, I'm waving to you. Hello.
Hi.
It's a pleasure. And Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, teacher, for listening. Somebody is asking, I've been married for 6 years and I've been trying to conceive with no luck. I have been praying all this time. I've been fasting for 3 days, including dry fast, but nothing happens right. Now, as we speak, I'm so stressed and feeling like giving up. I don't know what God wants to do with me. How would you advise me? Let me start with Sheila. As a pastor, what should you tell my dear listener?
You need to change your mind frame. Yeah, focus on perhaps maybe even different prayers, like, God, what do you desire out of this season? More than, I want a child. We have this entitlement to things that are not ours. Children are a gift from God. You don't force the giver to give you a gift. The giver will give gifts however they feel, whenever they feel. So perhaps change your mindset and start making other prayers, like, God, what do you desire of me in this season? Whom do you want me to reach out to? Where do you want me to go? And that's where I personally am. I decided I'm not going to focus on, I don't have children, but I'm going to focus on, God, whom do you need me to speak into? Whom do you need me to reach out to? Who's dying there that needs your grace, that needs your love, that needs your peace? And it can only be given through my experience. You know, many times when we say, Lord, use me, we don't sit down and analyze the ways God can use you. For us, this is it.
Wow.
Yeah.
As a doctor, Tele,
yes.
What should you tell this couple?
Now, listeners, this is not a medical program.
It's okay. Number, we have the privilege to get a consultation today.
Number two, I am a pediatrician. But if I speak from a medical point of view, analyzing that question, as much as my heart goes out to her, it still doesn't give us some information. So if I work with the assumption that maybe you've not been checked or you are the only one who's been checked, my advice is that you need to be seen by a professional as a couple, because that's very important. Like I said, remember, like I mentioned that we went together, Sheila and I. You have to go as a couple, because whatever I said there is for you as a couple. The tests are for both of you as a couple to know who it is that has the concern and what kind of treatment one may require. Because if I look on the positive side, there's a chance that you may be actually quite okay and he may be having a concern, you know, or actually on the other side is that both of you do have a concern that also needs to be sorted out. So you may be working on your part on your own, and it will be very important to get a professional help as a couple together so that you can be able to get help that you require.
Okay. Thank you, Beatrice, for writing in and just saying this story is an encouragement to you. And we are praying together with you as you go for that heart surgery. May the Lord come through for you and heal you in Jesus' name. Oh, we have to conclude, but we promise to say, what are some of the hurtful things, you know, be it in church or outside church, that people should just stop? Just stop asking couples who are trusting God for children.
Unfortunately, human nature, we tend to feel, I mean, why is it not yet? You don't have a house yet. You don't have, you know, people have an entitlement, you know, as in, because I've gotten there, I have this, you should also be having it because I can get it. And everybody has got different ways and different speeds as to get to wherever they need to get to. So when you're told, and I pardon me for being very vulgar, that, you know, is it possible that you're shooting blanks? And I beg your pardon for that statement. What is going on? Is it something in the house? Is it something that's going on in your family? Is there something wrong with her? Why don't you, have you considered any other options? And sometimes that's a very double-sided type of statement, because any other option could mean, well, in a good way, medical help. In the other way, think about getting somebody else who can be able to get your baby, you know.
And by then, there are people who shoot blanks. So when you're saying shooting blanks, it's not a joke.
Yes.
You could be talking to a guy who is actually experiencing infertility.
Yes. Yes.
So just be careful of what you're saying.
Okay.
What are you still waiting for?
Oh, and that's also another. Really? What are you still waiting for? What took you so long? What you should have actually started earlier, you know?
Or there are some conditions like, say, endometriosis or adenomyosis, where you're bloated. Eh? So you look like, in fact, we have a joke where we say, I'm expectant and I'm 3 months. Like, we joke about it because of the way you're bloated. Then someone comes and rubs your tummy like, oh my gosh, is there something here? And you're like, yes, my stomach, air. Yeah, there's all that there.
Even others who are undergoing also the same polycystic concern. Remember I talked about weight gain.
Yes.
So, of course, you may have a bit of a belly. Mm. And, oh, so congratulations. So when are you due? And that is so offensive because, first of all, what I'm going through is what caused me to go to look this way.
Yeah.
And it can be quite...
Or it starts, they're staring at me like, oh my gosh, you have hair in your chin. Mm. How did you get that?
Mm-mm.
I mean, this person is struggling.
Yeah.
It's even just like getting out of their house. Mm. Just getting out of their house.
Mm.
Is a struggle.
Yeah.
You don't know how they've woken up.
True.
I remember there was a time I stayed 3 months. I didn't talk to my mom because I just didn't want to hear anyone.
Mm.
I just wanted him.
Mm.
No one else by my side.
Mm.
So just be very sensitive.
Okay.
Others have even told me as a pastor, have you prayed enough?
Oh no.
And you're like, wow.
Just stop. Just stop, please.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah.
We can take a minute and pray.
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes,
please. Kindly pray.
Oh, let's just pray. Abba Father, you are good in your ways. You're awesome. You are amazing. Amazing, Father, that you've purposed on this very day, Lord, that we'll be speaking to many, many hearts, Jehovah, many hearts that you love so deeply, my God. And I thank you for this opportunity. My God, I commit every heart, every ear that is listening to us, my God, I commit their hearts to you. And Jehovah, I speak peace into their storms. I speak peace into their situations. I speak grace and understanding of your works, my God. I pray that, Lord, they will plug deeper into you and not into the surroundings. They will plug deeper into your purpose for them and not what they expect. And I pray, Father, that you will just manifest yourself in their lives, my God. Those who desire children, Jehovah, and it is their season to receive those children, my God, I pray that you will just open up those wombs, my God. Open up those blessings, Father, and may those children be theirs, my God. For those who you desire to continue teaching them your ways through this seasons of lack and waiting, my God, I pray for grace and strength to just be faithful to you, my God. I pray that you manifest yourself in their lives, my Father. Surround them with people who will love on them, oh my God, who will fill them with your joy, my King, because your joy is our strength, Lord. You have done it for Tele and I. Lord, I know you can do it for many others, my God. Teach them how to enjoy the life that you have given them, because tomorrow is not guaranteed, children or not, my God. So thank you again for this opportunity. Holy Spirit, do your bidding. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Wow.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Tele. Thank you, Sheila, for coming.
Hey,
yeah. And I'll say, hold on to that word that God has given
you.
Because it just gives you in the closet.
Oh, yes.
And we'll wait to see the manifestation.
Yes, faith
the rest of us.
Yes.
Amen. And thank you for honoring us
thank
with
you
your presence and sharing
us.
Your story.
And we thank you for invitation as well.
Asante. That's all we had for you in Praise Junction show today. What is my take home from today's story? Work together. If you're a married couple, work together. Learn your spouse, learn your husband, learn your wife, and that your God will help you minister to each other in the different seasons you're going through. Number two, never lose your faith in God. Never lose it. And whatever he's told you, hold on to it, and he'll bring it to pass. Amen. My name is Grace Mutiso. Joy to be with you. Join me again tomorrow, same time, as we'll be focusing on something different in Jesus' name. And I'll see you tomorrow. Keep it right here for the news at 1. Thereafter, Shangilia.
This is Profile. Real people, real stories, real God, real change.